Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Patty White
and Lee Anderson,
the festival directors of the Annapolis Film Fest, which returns to Annapolis from March 22nd through the 25th. Thanks so much for coming in again.
Happy to be back.
I really enjoyed our conversation last year, so I'm glad we're getting to do this again. Let's make it an annual thing.
Yeah, we were rocking and rolling last year.
Absolutely. Rob Reiner. I mean, it was a big deal last year. All right. So I definitely want to go into the slate in a minute. But first, give me more of an overview. I hear you guys have a new theme this year.
We do. Our theme this year is Voices Strong, Minds Open.
And what does that mean?
Well, the voices are the director voices. There are over 80 films this year, and they all have distinctive and powerful voices. And it represents a cross-section of everybody. There's everybody in the country. So we're just asking people to come with minds open to understand what these voices have to say.
Awesome. How many submissions and how many did it get whittled down to?
We had many, many submissions.
Hundreds.
We don't even know the numbers. We had many submissions. We reached out for many films and we worked with distributors to get films. So it was a whole puzzle of curation going on here to build this festival.
And how many are actually screening? How many movies?
Over 80. If you count the shorts programs, we'll have over 80, 85 films in the festival.
Awesome. From what countries are represented? All over the world?
There are 28 countries this year, everywhere from Iceland to Burkina Faso.
Oh, wow. Man, you guys really reached out to us. Okay,
we're
cool.
Everywhere.
That's awesome. And what year are we in now?
The sixth year.
Okay. Give me a sense of how much it's grown since that. The humble beginnings.
Oh, my God. We don't even know how we did this in the beginning.
We started out with about 2,500 people in the seats. Last year, we were over 15,000 people in the seats. And for a town like Annapolis, the capital city, where probably if you looked at the population of Annapolis, the city of Annapolis, were about 35,000 people. So considering all of that.
We had 1,000 people for opening night last year. We set the second highest record for the building we were in in all time in the last 30 years, the largest turnout.
The population just grows when this happens. Oh, what you mentioned the building. Where is it?
Well,
the Maryland
night,
Hall?
Is it Maryland Hall for the Creative Arts, where we have two venues. We have a main theater upstairs that seats about 750, and then a lower theater, it's about 200 seats.
And then we have four other venues. We have St. John's Key Auditorium. Mm-hmm. And which is St. John's College. And we have the Annapolis Elementary School, the gymnasium. We have the Asbury United Methodist Church, which is a wonderful venue, the oldest black church in our area. And I think that's pretty much it for this year.
Yeah, I think I discovered it about 2 years ago. And I was like, why have I not been coming anymore? So any of you that are in the same boat, get out there and before we go to the movies, explain how it's also, you know, situated near all the other good things you can do in Annapolis.
That was part of our original vision, was to make the festival walkable, accessible, affordable, and for everyone. So we love our downtown historic Annapolis harbor area, and it is the arts district. So that's why we work really hard to find unique spaces to bring the festival there and make it walkable and more engaging for the community.
And, you know, we used to be like the best kept secret, our festival, but
secret's
we're not a
out,
secret
baby.
Anymore.
<That's>
now
a good
they're
thing.
Coming in.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Okay, awesome. Let's go to the reason we're here. Let's go into the movies, and we'll move chronologically. So tell me about opening night.
Opening night, we have Beirut, which is going to open in April in the theaters, but we're having it before that, and it's John Hamm and Rosamund Pike, and it's a
Mad Men and Gone
thriller.
Meets Gone Girl. Let's
yeah,
go.
Mad Men meets Gone Girl. And it's a political thriller set in 1982 Beirut, and it's a CIA drama. John Hamm is a diplomat sent to Beirut to help a terrorist situation where they have a kidnapped American. And Rosamund Pike plays the CIA operative who's trying to take care of him and keep an eye on him.
I'm in. So, you had me at John Hamm and Rosamund Pike.
This film's just out of Sundance, but most people don't know that it's written by Tony Gilroy.
Of course.
Who we all probably have seen lots of his movies, but it's loosely based on a true story of the 1984 kidnapping of CIA station chief William Buckley.
Wow. Yeah. Did it? Is it directed by Gilroy as well? Or
no, it's directed by Brad Anderson.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
And the producer
is Monica Levinson, and she is a home state girl. So
Barry's the same Levinson.
Yeah, not Barry. No.
Oh, not related.
Not as far as I know.
No, okay.
Oh, maybe they
I'll
are.
Cut that out. I'll cut
know.
That out.
Yeah, cut that out. Right. But or check it out. Yeah. One of the two. But anyway, Monica, it will be coming, and she will be doing the Q&A for the film.
Wow.
So we're excited about that.
That's the whole awesome. Night has a Middle Eastern theme. So we have an after party for the community with Middle Eastern fare and signature cocktails, the Kismet and the Silk Road.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, that sounds amazing.
And belly dancers.
Really?
Yes. Maybe. If we're lucky.
All right. Well, there you go. See? Go and see the belly dancers or see John Hamm. I mean, you can't lose. All right. Let's go into day two. Any highlights, spotlights?
Well, it kicks off in the morning. If you didn't overindulge for opening night, you should go to Coffee Talks at 9 in the morning.
Put some coffee in that belly after that belly dancing.
Because the filmmakers pop in. They look pretty weary-eyed. But they come in there, they sit down, and they kind of tell behind-the-scenes stories about the making of their films, and it's fun.
That's great.
And then we pop over. We actually have a very special thing going on. We have an educational showcase where we have about 700 high school kids being bussed in to see a film that we have called The Miracle Season with Helen Hunt, directed by Sean McNamara.
What's that about?
That's about a high school girls' volleyball team who loses to an accident, a moped accident, one of their star players and most popular girls. And then the team falls apart and Helen Hunt has to tough love them back into toward their state championship, working toward the state championship.
Was this a true story? Or?
Based on a true story of a girl named Caroline Found out in Iowa. And so the film is very inspiring and probably really important and relevant right now. Even if it's just kind of one of those inspiring films that you
can
pass.
Parkland, their students losing that.
So many kids are losing to either accidents or to things like the gun issue. And so kids are really relating to the relevance of this issue now. So we're having that screening, and that film will screen again on Saturday for the general audience at 1:30 at Maryland Hall. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, cool.
Some other things we have in store on Friday. We always have our environmental showcase. That's Friday at 12:45. That's also at Maryland Hall. And we always have a panel to follow. So this year's film is called What Lies Upstream, and it follows the story of the chemical spill incident that happened in the Elk River, West Virginia. Mm. And it's a doc, and we have some interesting experts in store to discuss the film afterwards. We also have several shorts programs running throughout the festival, lots of shorts. And our wonderful director of programming, Derek Horn, came up with a creative moniker and themes this year. So all the internet monikers like FAQ and OMG and LOL and
BRB.
WTF.
WTF. LMFAO.
They're all in there with the shorts program.
AFF, Annapolis Film Fest. WTOP. Go all day.
The great thing about it is they all have real meaning and connect to the actual selections of the shorts.
Oh, cool.
So it's not just a throwaway. It actually connects into what you're going to see.
Mm.
And that's part of good curation there.
Oh, awesome.
Also, Friday's our industry panel day. So we run four panels on Friday. It'll be at the Powerhouse, which is the conference area next to Lowe's Hotel on West Street. We have a webcasting panel. We have a producer's prerogative panel. We have a cinematography panel, and we have a tech innovators panel that run throughout the day. So that's a great way to hear the latest and greatest about what's happening.
Sounds like if you are a aspiring or working filmmaker, that's the thing to get to right there.
Exactly.
All right.
We're running a film called Disappearance, which is an Iranian film
This is Friday as well?
Friday afternoon, around 3 o'clock or so.
Yeah,
in the afternoon 3:15. At Maryland Hall. And it's a really, really interesting film about a couple that is caught in the hospital bureaucracy, the healthcare bureaucracy of a country that has the kind of stipulations Iran has on dating couples. So when they come in with certain issues facing this woman, they can't say that they're married. They can't say they're dating because they're not allowed to date. So they have to pretend to be a married couple, and
they don't have any proof.
They don't have any. So they get sent from, she's bleeding away, and they get sent from hospital to hospital, and it's not good. But it's really representative of what a woman has to go through.
Wow. You know?
And then right after that, we have a wonderful film, a feature doc called Kim Swims. It's about Kimberly Chambers, who nearly lost her leg and while rehabbing began swimming. And she's successfully, I think she's done the Ocean's 11, all the most dangerous waters of the world, But this particular film follows her through a section from San Francisco to the Farallon Islands near Alcatraz, and it's the most shark-infested water in the world.
Wow. How did she lose her leg?
She or didn't almost, lose it, almost but did? She was, it was an injury, right?
Yeah.
It was an injury.
I think it was an injury, yeah.
But now she's like this amazing swimmer, and she swims for a lot of veterans events and things to benefit veterans, but the film's tension-filled because the whole time you just think this big shark's going to bite her. The whole, you know.
Yeah. And also, it's also going to replay on Saturday for people who have other things they want to see. Some of these films you have to look and see because some of them will play twice.
Right.
You'll get a chance. And awesome. And we had a really fun sort of crazy documentary called Lots of Kids, a Monkey in a Castle.
And it's been a All right, I got to hear about this one.
It's been a favorite on the festival tour, you know, for a lot of festivals. And it's a film from Spain, and it's a documentary filmmaker who just goes in and starts to realize, my family needs to be documented. My mother is a story. And lo and behold, this is a woman who, they had tons of footage of their lives together, and this is a woman who goes back to her, you know, her young adulthood when she meets her husband, and her big dream in life was to have lots of kids, a monkey, and a castle.
And
she
dreamed
as all of us, you know.
And she got what she wanted. Unfortunately, she got a lot of other things attached to that. And that is what the story
Careful
is about.
Careful what you wish for, castle wishers.
It's comical. It took 12 years to make that film.
Really?
Sort of dark comedy, kind of.
So it's highly entertaining.
Was it shot like Boyhood, you know, as the monkey grows?
Well, just like, kind of. And the son is the filmmaker. So,
gotcha. Yeah.
Then we have Flock of Four, which is a beautiful, gorgeous little independent film. It's beautifully shot and beautifully told.
Yeah, we love it.
And the story follows four boys that play in a jazz band in the 50s when jazz is starting to wane and rock and roll's on the rise. Yeah. But they're passionate about jazz, and they find out that one of their favorite players is playing down in South Central LA named Pope Dixon, and one of them takes off and the rest follow for one crazy night.
They come from the sort of the white elite sort of middle class, upper middle class of Pasadena out in California, and they've always been told you can't go to South Central. That's the dangerous place where you don't go. But they're determined because they're in love with this African-American jazz singer. So they go off and go down there, and then they stumble into everything.
Oh, well, that sounds
coming
cool.
of age.
The coming Let's of age. It's a wonderful coming of age story, and they learn a lot about life and what jazz is really all about.
All right.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe if there's some folks that La La Land wet their whistle, now they can go see more jazz in L.A.
But on Friday night, we have a very big thing. It's our African-American Experience Showcase.
Yes,
and
it
this
is.
Year, we have Sammy Davis Jr., I've Gotta Be Me, Sam Pollard's film. And it's great. We saw it on the road.
Memphis.
Indie Memphis. And we were very taken with it at how well it was done, how well it was put together, and how meaningful it is. You know, if you just think, oh, it's a biopic about one of those old singers. But this has really got some
It's extraordinary guts to it. Because I think people know Sammy Davis Jr. He's iconic. You see him in all the pictures of the Rat Pack. But you don't realize the journey he really went on. And he was a visionary. And he built bridges long before people talked about building cultural, racial bridges.
True.
And he took risks to do it, and he paid a price to do it. But he also kind of helped get us on that path. So it's a really timely film in that way.
Yeah, he took the risks that he took caused a lot of rifts with his own people. And this film takes you through that, and you see it in a different light. So it's very interesting. Sam Pollard will be there. We're putting together a panel after that, which should be really interesting. And
I always love those films where, I mean, it's someone that we think we know, but it reexamines them in a new light.
And
so
that's
I'm
what
excited
this film is.
Yeah.
So that's a really, really good one.
When I saw it at the end, it left me with a big lump in my throat. Mm-hmm. I won't tell you the ending, but it's so emotional at the end.
Right.
Oh man,
it is.
They're lumping up just talking about it.
Great, it's a great film. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Well, and one other
one
thing.
One
more quick thing on Friday night. Our late film is called Butterfly Kisses.
It's a Maryland-made film shot in Ellicott City.
Oh, right.
Cool.
And it's about
an urban legend about peeping Tom in the train tunnel, and then there's some found footage, and then someone goes missing.
Uh-oh. Yeah. And a little horror element here.
Right.
Come out and support the local filmmakers.
That's our local guy. So that's Friday in a nutshell. There's more, too, but that's
awesome.
just what
and
we're
And that's a short?
You.
No, it's a feature.
Oh, it's a feature.
It's a feature. It's okay. A feature.
Who's the filmmaker? Let's give him some love.
Eric Christopher Myers.
Eric Christopher Myers, local filmmaker. Come on out. We got to support our own kin here.
Exactly.
All right?
Exactly.
All right, Butterfly Kisses.
Yes, you've got it.
All right, Saturday.
Saturday, I just want to start with a new thing that we're doing this year, which is called the Shorts Challenge. And this is a pitch competition. And it's going to, three of our judges, or four, we might even have five, on the stage, a la Shark Tank, American Idol,
yeah.
any other pitch competition you can think of. But we're unique because our judges are going to be listening to six finalists. People submitted ideas for a short film.
Okay.
It could be a documentary or a narrative.
Sure.
They sent them in. We picked out of all of the submissions, we picked six finalists. The story, we gave them the theme this year. It was women and girls issues and stories around the world because this is the year of the woman.
Well, right. We picked that before the Me Too thing ever
right.
happened.
Yeah.
Let's make that clear.
Yeah, let's make
we
it clear.
We were ahead of the curve here.
We were definitely ahead of the curve. And we had our submissions. We picked our finalists. They are being brought in from all over. And a few of them are local, two from D.C., actually. Mm-hmm. And they will stand up and they have 10 minutes to present. Present, also that includes the asking of the judges, critiquing and their questions, and this is what they will present to
the script. The scripts aren't written, it's pitch
form. And it's before a live audience.
Okay.
And
so,
the audience gets to vote.
Ah.
A quarter of the vote is the audience and the judges decide on the rest.
So if they win, is it funded? Is it?
If they win, what they get, thanks to all of our wonderful production partners in Maryland, the Maryland Film Office is sponsoring the Arts Council, and then they win a production package, so they get free camera, sound lighting gear from Lens Pro to Go. They get a lighting package from Sirius Grip and Electric. They get post-production sound mix music from Studio Unknown and final post at Henninger Media Services.
Oh.
It's a good deal. And two of our actual finalists are MFA students at Howard University.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Howard's Bradford Young cinematographer came from there.
Really?
Yeah. The guy that shot Arrival. Yeah.
Well, a lot
yeah.
of people.
There's a lot. Well, he's just one of many. Chadwick Boseman, too.
Chadwick Boseman.
We know that.
Yes, we know it. Yeah.
So, well, there you go. Well, maybe the next Chadwick Boseman's here pitching. You never know.
And then whatever film's made can come back, and everybody in the audience that voted for it will see it manifest next year at the festival.
So that'll be cool from a fan. Not only are you helping the filmmaker, but from a fan and audience perspective to kind of see it organically grow over the course of the year.
Exactly. Yeah. Plus, we're really standing up for the emerging and evolving filmmakers, the filmmakers that don't always have a voice. It's hard. They have ideas.
Or the resources.
They don't have and because of that, their voices, they don't know where to go with their voice, so to speak. So we're giving them an outlet.
So pitch the idea. If it wins, then they go to work writing it, and then it's funded in with all the gear. That's great.
What I told all the finalists was, if it doesn't win, you're still winning because you're getting critiquing, and you're getting ideas and a chance to express
yourself.
Yeah.
And then who knows what people in the audience might come forward and want to help that filmmaker.
Yeah, you never know who's sitting in the audience.
You don't.
Because there's all the other filmmakers that are here with their films.
Exactly.
Sounds like a great opportunity. Come on. So what's that called again? The Shorts Challenge. Shorts Challenge. Get your pitches ready,
10
guys.
10 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning.
All right, that's great.
Hall.
I love that idea. What else on Saturday?
A new skein of for family-friendly programming. It's Tunes for Tots and Tunes for Tweens. So a lot of young parents have trouble getting to the festival, but they can take the kids to that and at least be part of it. And then we're doing Courageous. You want to talk about Courageous?
Courageous is Gary Jobson. Was Gary Jobson from Annapolis. Everybody knows him in the sailing world. He was the tactician on the original Courageous that won the America's Cup. And this is a film that NBC did about Courageous. And Gary will be doing the Q&A and being part of that aftermath of the screening.
But you're going to have to choose, because at the same time we have Resistance is Life, which follows
a great documentary about immigration
in Syria,
Kurdish immigration.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are other choices happening at the same time. As also, there's Mary Goes Round, which is I really like this film.
It's
really well done. It doesn't have big actors in it, but the story is very universal. It's a girl who works as an addictions counselor, but she's an alcoholic, and she has to come to terms with some of her own demons as her father is dying.
She has a DUI, so she has to deal with her own DUI when she's counseling others. And it's really, but it's a
it's
movie,
funny,
so it
it's
has
poignant.
Yeah, it's got some comic relief and other things in it. And we're having Kathy Miller, who is the founder of OASIS, the Center for Mental Health in Annapolis, and she will be doing the Q&A afterwards.
Awesome.
We also have two panels that are more broad appeal on Saturday. We have a really amazing director's roundtable with some of our biggest directors that are coming to the festival, including people like Sean McNamara, Trevor White. All of these directors are going to sit around and discuss what it really means to be a director and how it translates to the screen. And then we have a woman's. You want to talk about the...
That's Sunday.
I know. Yeah. But
well, we do have a women's panel on Sunday, as long as we're bringing it up.
Yeah. So, the other panel?
The other panel is Women in the Industry 2018. And it will take in all of these things, whether their voices are now being heard. How's the Me Too issue factored into this? What about equal pay?
Pay discrepancies. You know,
pay discrepancies.
On all
of that's
going to
be discussed.
Or The Crown was the latest one we just heard about with Claire Foy.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it's an ongoing discussion.
Big issue. And it's going to be moderated by... Rain Alexander from the film Fatales, and we have a ton of producers and people, producers, directors.
It's a stellar group.
Fantastic women on this panel on Sunday at 10:30 at St. John's. It's
awesome.
Going to be amazing.
And then we have Sam's other film. Sam Pollard has two films in the festival
this
year.
He has
slacker.
He doesn't do anything.
All right, yeah.
So this is also Saturday. Saturday.
Yeah,
okay.
Saturday. Back to Saturday.
Acorn and the Firestorm. And...
The Acorn Organization.
It's a very impactful film. It follows that whole story even before there was fake news and people messing with journalism.
Right.
This sort of was the beginning of that, and you see its impact on the organization. And it's a very powerful film. So we have that, and we have another independent international feature film. It's a Norwegian production.
Very good film.
And Pakistani, and it's called What Will People Say? And it follows the story of a young girl who just aspires to be a normal teenager in Norway, but she has a very conservative Muslim family, and when things go awry, they ship her back to Islamabad to learn about her culture. It's a very interesting look at two cultures colliding.
Wow.
Yeah, really, really interesting. We also have a film called True Conviction. You may have heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a documentary that about three guys that were in prison in Texas and were released when DNA proved that they were there innocently, you know? And these guys formed their own detective agency and are now freeing other people.
Oh, wow.
That are, you know,
it's a soon to be TV series.
Yeah, and it
sounds
will be
like
a TV
it.
Series.
That's amazing. So, yeah, because you could keep doing that with other cases. Wow.
And one of the ex-prisoners and now detectives will be with us.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're very excited to have Chris
as
a guest.
He's quite something to talk
What's
about.
What's his name, Chris? What?
Can't remember his last name now.
Oh, gosh.
That's fine. Yeah. I can totally see that becoming a TV series. I mean, Making a Murderer and all that, The Keepers, all that stuff is hot.
Yeah, and it's a very good film. It'll be at Asbury United Methodist Church on Saturday late afternoon.
Uh-huh. We also have another spotlight for tennis fans or sports fans out there. This is you don't want to miss this. We have a wonderful film called Love Means Zero.
Okay.
It's about the legendary tennis coach Nick Bollettieri. He coached, gosh, who?
Everybody.
Boris Becker.
James Courier. Andre Agassi.
Serena and Venus.
For a while, them.
Yeah.
Chrissy Everett. I mean,
everybody.
All of them kind of went through Bollettieri. And then, you know, he also has those camps where you can just go for the summer for 2 weeks. A lot of kids have just gone down to his camp.
Oh, cool.
But he's overbearing, kind of runs it like a boot camp.
Completely.
He's caused a lot of issues for people. And he is a kind of a character that is larger than life on the screen and almost disturbing at times. When you're watching him, your jaw is kind of dropping at what's coming out of his mouth. And it's great, mixed with iconic old footage of matches and what happens. And it follows the disintegration of the relationship between him and Andre Agassi, which was a famous bust-up. So this tells that story.
Clever title, a double meaning there. With
exactly.
A little tough love.
And we'll have the wonderful Jason Cohn, the director of that film. He's coming just from another festival in Copenhagen to us. So we're thrilled that he's joining.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fresh from Copenhagen.
Yes.
Nice.
And then this one of Patty's favorite films. She really wanted to get this film in the festival, so I'm going to let her talk about it.
But
It's called Three Identical Strangers.
Yeah.
It's just from Sundance.
It's kind of dark.
Do tell.
A little twisted documentary about the true story about the three triplets in Long Island that were had been separated at birth, didn't know each other at all, and then two of them met on a community college campus.
And like by chance.
By chance, and someone said, "Oh, I thought you weren't going to be." And they said, "Oh no, you have a twin." And so they found each other, and then they came out publicly, and it became televised and put in print. And the third brother,
turns out there's a third one,
and they all lived in towns nearby. So what they find, that's all fun and games. And the brothers got close, and they were doing things together, and it was wonderful. But then it came out that the scientist,
one of the three.
The scientist actually, when they got separated, because they probably were put up for adoption, they decided to separate them as part of a study. And they wanted to put them in different kinds of environments. Oh. All of these kind of twisted things
and
that happened.
And the parents signed off on that, or were they just going to be foster
kids? We don't know
because we haven't.
Oh, my God.
So,
this is, I mean, I'm a twin, so this
are
is,
you
yeah,
a twin?
This is really speaking to me, yeah.
Oh my God, you have to come and see this film.
I'm already there. Let's go.
So
that's fascinating.
Some bad things happen because of it, and it really gets into that nurture nature and what you're allowed to do and how you manipulate people. But
what's funny is because they're so similar, they were all drawn to the same thing, so they ended up naturally finding one another, which is so bizarre.
Yeah, Matt, getting on the same campus, that's insane to me.
Exactly.
We have a friend that is a twin, and she's on our advisory board, and within, 2 weeks, she and her twin sister both...
The same week,
put an application to work the Peace Corps and ended up how many miles apart in Kenya?
40 miles.
And they hadn't told each other. And then they
ended
up there.
I totally believe in this stuff.
Like, it's weird. I don't know
it
what.
Is.
It's like almost supernatural how that happens, but that's crazy.
So it's called Three Identical Strangers. The documentary.
I'm there.
And it was just off of Sundance.
Oh, you got me.
It just came out of Sundance. And then we have our big spotlight.
Oh, my gosh.
We talk about the film.
We do. We're having another red carpet Saturday. And that's because the main star of this film couldn't join us until she's coming from London. We have the lovely and distinguished British actress Joanne Froggatt, better known as Anna Bates, on Downton Abbey. Mm-hmm.
But that's a big get.
It is.
She is not playing Anna Bates at the festival. She has a new film. It's called A Crooked Somebody. It's directed by Trevor White, who graced us with his presence last year with LBJ. And she will be joining and having red carpet, and we will have a Q&A with the wonderful Joe Neumeier to follow, and then we will also do a conversation with her on Sunday afternoon.
Wow.
It'll be a Joe Neumeier interviewing Joanne Froggatt conversation.
Wow. Well, if she's coming all the way from London, you might as well get a couple days worth out of it,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. But Joanne will be, after A Crooked Somebody, she'll do the Q&A with Trevor and Tim White, who also produced it, and Wayne Rogers, who was also one of our business entrepreneurs from the Annapolis area, and he was a producer on the film as well.
Now, let's find out, what's A Crooked Somebody about? Because it's a very different role for Joanne Froggatt to play. The lead is Rich Sommer from Mad Men. He played Harry Crane on Mad Men. Of course, she's Downton Abbey and Liar. And Rich plays an on-the-road psychic medium who, you know, goes around in his beat-up car with his box of books and his pop-up sign, and he's really not real. And she's the plant in the audience, his girlfriend, and she's always the first one he calls on, and then suddenly it convinces everybody that, oh, my God, he must know something.
Right.
And then one day, this sort of strange and dark fellow walks into the room. And
Clifton Collins Jr.
And he's convinced that he can find redemption for murder through
Harry Crane.
Yeah, through Rich. So he kidnaps him, and then it just spins out of control after that.
It doesn't pay to be, you know, not on the up and up. That's his comeuppance.
Well, that is really the fun of it. It takes you on this, it's a caper, and it takes you on this great little journey, and it's a dark comedy. So, you know.
Sounds cool.
And Ed Harris plays the father, and Amy Madigan plays the mother, and the title is because of a line the father says, I'd rather be an honest nobody than a crooked somebody.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that sounds great.
Yeah, and she has a complete American accent in it, which is awesome. You'd never know she was a Brit.
And this is Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday night at 7.
All
St.
right,
John's.
Cool. Lots of good options here.
Yeah. We also have, for those of you that are more inclined to rock and roll and alternative music, we also have a film called New Wave, Dare to Be Different, that follows the WLIR Long Island radio station when they went against normal programming and sort of broke out with all this new wave music in the 80s. And one of our hometown WRNR DJs is Bob Waugh, who was at that station. Mm-hmm. and they're going to show the film, and then...
His wife works in our sales department, by the way.
Oh my God.
There you go.
Well,
Mary Kay LeMay.
What a small world.
Yep.
Right.
Well, and then they're bringing in just a short set from local band Pressing Strings to play after the film.
And that'll be like 10 o'clock at night.
So. Oh, cool.
And these are going up against, we also have a French romantic comedy that is very French. It's about two women that fall in love, but it's not the normal coming out, I'm gay story. It's like a normal broad appeal, fun kind of, it's a little saucy, but it's, I mean, it's French.
Sure.
What do you expect?
What do you expect?
Yeah. It's called Embrasse-moi, means kiss me. So we have
Embrasse-moi.
That. And then we just got another big film Saturday night, Spinning Man.
Right, we do. We have, after A Crooked Somebody, the late show will be, it's a Pierce Brosnan, Guy Pierce.
Minnie Driver,
Hitchcockian thriller.
I'm in.
That's going to be coming in the theaters probably in June.
What's
or
it
so.
Called?
Spinning Man.
Okay.
And it's part Swedish, part American made. I mean, it's an English film, but you know, it's got all those little twists and turns in it.
Awesome. I guess that brings us to Sunday.
To Sunday, yeah.
And you can't be tired of film, because by Sunday we have a whole bunch of other films we haven't talked about. So if you're a sailing fanatic, please come see Coyote. It's the Mike Plant story. He was a rogue and sort of, what's the word? He just did what he wanted to do and took on every challenge. But he was known for being a solo sailor around the world. So this is his story until he disappears.
Right, and that's our sailing showcase. So that's a big deal for us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And opposite that, we have the Jewish experience, which is a very cool thing. We have bagels and lox in the morning at 9 to 10, and then we show Itzhak, which is the documentary on Itzhak Perlman, which is people are just loving. And after that, there's a little break, and then we're showing a film called Humor Me, which is a poignant comedy, dramedy sort of, with Elliot Gould and Annie Potts. And it's just it's a lovely Sunday for people who are interested in it.
And if you weren't interested in bagels and lox and coffee, you could go to the Student Shorts, which happens, or there's a screening of the film Stumped, which we haven't talked about yet. But
very
Robin Burgess is joining us. She's the filmmaker. She'll be here from Boston. And Stumped is a very inspirational story about a man that, through an infection, had to have both arms and legs amputated. But he was a comedian, so now, as he says, he's a sit-down comedian. It's really all about his attitude and how he overcomes these challenges. Just amazing how he continues to be so optimistic and positive. But even more than that, he has one of the first arm transplants in the world.
Yeah, I mean, his arms are... I mean, he had only one limb left. I think it was the one leg.
The leg. Okay.
And so he's got an arm transplant now and one leg.
Right.
Wow.
And it's unbelievable to watch how he's...
It took. So it's a functioning arm. Wow.
Functioning arms.
It's insane.
You know, they take some practice. You know, they don't look exactly... But he is actually went from having one limb to basically having three.
Wow.
So it's pretty interesting.
Wow.
Story. And very inspiring.
Yeah.
Really inspiring. The other thing we have on Sunday, which is a big sort of matinee for us, is called Come Sunday. And this has also just been at Sundance.
Why would you put it on Sunday?
So you don't forget when to attend.
So it's Chiatol Ejiofor plays the preacher, Carlton Pearson, based on a true story about the preacher who basically...
This is 12 Years a Slave.
And Martin Sheen plays Oral Roberts, and it's Danny Glover's in it. It's a great cast, and it basically tells the story of the preacher who leaves the evangelical movement that he's in, this very part of the sort of right-wing conservative part of it, because he finds the hypocrisy about certain things, but he still believes very deeply in his religion, but he can't believe anymore that everyone's going to hell.
He's seeing the modern day Pharisees.
He's got some of the fairy dust on him now, and he's starting to look at things differently, and he's up against it. And this is his story, and it's not done with a heavy hand. It's really done with a lot of fairness and interesting issues that come up. Very, very good film.
Nice.
And then if you're still anxious to see films, there are a few more choices left. I know we're getting further in the day on Sunday, but
it's okay.
You can...
But you never know. Like, some people, maybe this is the only day they can come. So,
that's,
you know,
right.
let's
We're rerunning things, too.
Yeah,
you should look on Sunday, because some of those things that you want to see, other things on Saturday, They'll be rerun.
Should we talk about that one?
No.
Okay. Cardinals is how would you describe Cardinals?
Well, Cardinals is another film about someone who has
an addiction issue,
a car accident. You know, has a situation with alcohol, but
it's
completely
prevalent,
different
so
story.
It's totally relatable.
Sure.
It's a completely different story, and it tells it in a completely different way. So
you
have to go and see that. I mean, it's a very good movie. It's really good.
And then we're running a series of three immigration shorts called Finding Home. They're LGBTQ stories about what it's like not only to leave and find a new home in a country, but find a new community.
Wow.
Too.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And then we have our Best of Fest,
which is
Sunday. We have our awards where we're going to give, not only are we giving our audience awards that we do every year, but we're juring everything this year. We're juring our shorts and we're juring the narrative feature and the documentary feature. So they'll all be juried along with presenting the winner of the Shorts Challenge.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Which we will announce Saturday night at our bash.
Right.
But,
another chance to honor them.
And then the audience awards will be selected, and we rerun the best short doc, best narrative short, best doc feature,
four
and
films.
Best narrative feature again for the rest of the night. So.
Well, that's great. If you missed anything or, let's say, that's a perfect way to go catch up on all the best.
And films will be playing all along there. They can, if they've seen one of those Best of Fest, they can run to another film.
Yeah.
And Sunday night, 10 o'clock, closing down.
That's a perfect way to end
it. Another year.
Yeah.
the circus leaves town and they bring the big top down and we all sleep for a while.
Yeah. But you'll need it at that point.
But it's an amazing experience. If you are interested in a festival pass, just go on the homepage at applesfilmfestival.com. It says buy a festival pass, hit the big button. Pass $140, includes opening night, the after party, unlimited films and panels, the Joanne Froggatt conversation, and Best of Fest for $140. Individual tickets for that are already $85. So if you're going to go to a couple more movies, you might as well get a pass.
Pays for itself.
And individual tickets are $13 for adults, and seniors and students are $10.
If you really want to have a great weekend, and you haven't been to the Annapolis Film Festival, you really need to give it a shot, because we kind of hit the points that a lot of festivals strive for when they decide they want to do a festival, which is that we are a festival that is walkable, that is very, it's all contained, and people can mix and network, and you can talk to people and see people and get to the next film in a short amount of time, all on your feet, and we have trolleys that run that help you get there. So, and it brings our whole community together. We have also, we're known and we're told by filmmakers that we have the smartest audiences around. They ask the best questions at the Q&As, and it makes the filmmakers feel like they've done something.
And not only that, we've added a new thing for all pass holders this year. We've added the Lyft Lounge. The Lyft is a partner. Lyft's bringing all of our VIP guests from the airports to town.
Right.
And the Lyft Lounge is a space we've created with the help of a church called Downtown Hope. The whole front of it's glass. It's right there on West Street. It's in the middle of all the venues. So anybody with a pass can go in and try our VR experience. There's a cool area for selfies. There'll be snacks and drinks. And if you need a lift, there's a big flag and you can just hop and get a lift right there.
Perfect.
So here we are.
Thanks. No, it sounds great. I mean, already I have a bunch of mental notes of the ones that I'm going to come see. But you guys check out the whole lineup on the website. And again, it's March 22nd through the 25th in Annapolis, the Annapolis Film Fest. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us,
Jason. Thank you,
Jason.